tonight that the Lord has blessed us to see this another Lord's Day, to be able to come out tonight in worship to Him. And I am happy to see so many in attendance tonight, for that indicates to me that on last year there was some spiritual growth in your lives. And we are prayerful that 2010 will be just the same and even more. Want to add a word of welcome to that of Brother Henry Yeldale in welcoming those of you who are visiting with us tonight. We want you to know that you are our honored guest, and we are pleased to have you in our presence tonight. And if there is anything that we say tonight that you do not understand, ask the preacher. Amen, somebody. And he'll be glad to expound further upon the word of God with you. God has been good to us on this past year. It is evident by the fact that we are all sitting here as Henry uttered in his prayer on tonight, that God has blessed our golden moments to roll on. And for that, we are eternally grateful. God has chosen us to be His children. And I am thankful tonight that He chose me. And I want you to know that we are not our own. For the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in verse number 16. He said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And then he says in chapter 6, in verse number 16, he said, "What? Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid." He said, "What know ye not that he which joineth," I'm reading the wrong scripture. Hold on with one second. Okay, here we go. All right, bear with me now. He said, "Know ye not," in verse number 19, I'm on 19, 18 and 19. "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." He said, "Know ye not," here we are. He said, "What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and are not your own," he says. "For ye are bought with a price." You are bought with a price. Therefore, he said, "Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The world of television has many shows that talks about home remodeling or home decorating. And those of you that know that I like this TV show HGTV and DIY, do it yourself. It talks about home repairs and how to do partial repairs or whole house repairs. Don't you know tonight that your body is a house? Huh? Don't you know that your body is a house? We are filled with the Spirit of God through God's Word. God, I will tell you tonight, will not dwell within us, or him in us, or us in him, if there is sin within our house. Hello, somebody. We need to remodel our lives based upon the Word of God. We need to be a Christian who know how to go to the New Testament and how to exegete the Scripture and understand what God has in store for you and me. We need to tear down that old structure. That old structure that is decaying, that will cause us to miss our eternal home in glory. We need to tear it down, and we need to build it back up. God will protect us. God will help us as we build upon our growth through his word. We must tear down our worldly mindset. We must build upon a spiritual mindset. Then the Roman writer tells us in Romans 12 and verse number 2, what did he say? In the latter part of that verse, he said, what did he say? He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sometimes we are only worried about how we appear to others. We should be concerned about how people view us spiritually, yes. But that shouldn't be our only concern. What does Matthew 6 and verse number 1 says? Matthew 6 and verse number 1 says what? Do we have it on the screen there? Not, I'll find it right quick. It says, take heed that you do not your arms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Appearances do not always tell the truth. Hello, somebody. Get for me Matthew 23 and verse number 28. The Bible says there in Matthew 23 and verse 28. He said, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of what? Hypocrisy and iniquity. And now I ask you a question tonight. Why waste your time appearing righteous when the judgment day will not be based upon how good of an actor you have been before men? Hello, somebody. Matthew 12 and verse 36 says what? In the latter part of that verse, it said, every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of what? In the day of judgment. Yes, we're going to give an account. We, as I said early on, that we have been blessed beyond measure. The blessing that we enjoy in Christ includes our redemption. It is a renewal that we have in Christ Jesus. In baptism, we undergo a washing, a regeneration, a renewal of the Holy Spirit. Didn't it tell us that in Titus 3 and verse 5? We undergo a regeneration in Christ. But from baptism, Matthew, Romans 6 and verse 4 says, there's what it says, that not by that, that's all right there. Therefore you are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. When we are baptized, we undergo a washing. From baptism, we rise up in the newness of life. This renewal we find in Christ involves a concept of spiritual growth. Yes, spiritual growth. Just as a healthy physical life is one of growth, so is a healthy spiritual life is a process of growth. But sadly, tonight, church, not all Christians grow spiritually. I'm sad to say. Many have been of us have been Christians for years and years with little change or little improvement. These types of Christians are no more and often less useful to the Lord than when they first became Christians. What a sad commentary. Failing to grow, they become stagnant like a pool of water after an afternoon shower. That is because, tonight I want you to understand, that's because growth, spiritual growth, is a choice that you and I have to make. It doesn't happen by default, like physical growth does. Spiritual growth, like emotional maturity, occurs only when you and I choose to do so. If we do not make that choice, if we do not stick to that choice, there will be no spiritual growth in our lives. And that's why tonight, this room is not full of church folk. because they have not learned, they have not grown any in 2009. And they're starting out 2010 the same way. They made a choice to not grow. If you're going to grow, you got to be in study of God's word. You got to be in worship and in Bible study of God's word. Corporate worship as well as individual worship is important. They both are equally important. I want to encourage us tonight, as I build upon this sermon, I want to encourage each of us to remodel our spiritual lives so that they can be in harmony with the will of God. And I want you to also understand that your spiritual growth is a choice that you have to make. Spiritual growth is commanded by God. The Great Commission found in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, it said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Next verse. It said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Next verse. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Jesus commanded his apostles to make disciples. He told them, "I want you to go and baptize them." He said, "I want you to teach them all things that I have commanded." Implicit in this command is for you and I to teach. It is that disciples, as we have taught, that these disciples will be obedient learners. In other words, constantly growing as they learn and obey the Lord's commands or will. Explicitly stated in 2 Peter 3, in verse number 18, Peter ends his second epistle with a command for you and I to grow. He said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." He's saying that you and I need to labor. We need to strive. We need to know God more fully and more clearly, his will. We ought to grow in grace. We ought to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then Peter begins his second epistle by describing how you and I ought to grow. He says in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8, what did he say? He said, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." Next verse. "And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." Next verse. "And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Next verse. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Added to your faith, these types of graces is important. Virtue, knowledge, and self-control are important. Abounding in these graces as we grow spiritually helps to bring about a fruitfulness in you and me, which implies growth on our part. Is that all right? Christians who do not grow, what does the Hebrew writer say about Christians who do not grow? He says in Hebrews 5, verses 12, and then Hebrews 6 and verse 1. It says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of God, or the oracles of God. And are not become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Some of us are still on milk, when we should have been long ago, further along in our growth. What does it say in chapter 6 and verse 1? "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." We need to grow, church. We need to grow in the word of God and not become stagnant in our lives. Many of us, as I said earlier, have been in the church for a long time, and still, we are no further along than when we began. growth, spiritual growth, church, is not an option reserved for a few Christians. The Word of God commands all of us who are children of God to grow. We should also remember, as we listen to this message tonight, that spiritual growth is a choice that you and I make. Spiritual growth requires a diligent effort on the part of you and me as Christians. Unlike physical growth, people grow physically by default, unless there is some kind of disorder. No effort is required on our part in physical growth. We mature physically whether we want to or not. Don't think just because, y'all listen to me now. Don't think just because you grow older that you are growing spiritually. Amen, Walls. Just because you're growing older does not mean that you are growing spiritually. Spiritual growth requires a concentrated effort on the part of you and me. Jesus said in John 6 and verse number 27. What did he say? John 6 and verse number 27. He said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him had God the Father sealed. Now this does not forbid us laboring for food. But we must not make the things of this world our chief care and our concern. The things of the world is meat that perish. We are sealed in Christ Jesus. And I'm happy to say that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Paul wrote that it requires work on our part. Philippians 2 and verse 12. He said it requires some work. See, everything that's good for us requires some work. It just don't come, it just don't fall in your lap. You got to work for it. He says in Philippians 2 and verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. You got to work out your soul salvation. Why with fear? So that you won't fall. Why with trembling? So that you will not come to that point where you stop and you come short of your expectations of heaven. Work out your soul salvation. Paul, look what he says here in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul said, forget about those things that are back there. Those things are not important. I'm looking forward to that is ahead of me, which is good. That's what you and I need to be looking forward to as we build our spiritual growth in the Lord. Look forward to those things that are ahead. Then 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 10. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You know, we said this morning in our class, you got to know what you believe and believe what you know in Bible class this morning. If you were here, you would have heard that. We need to know that we are Christians. We need to know that we are saved. We need to know that we are members of the Church of Christ. If you don't know that, then we have not grown at all. If you do not know that the body is Christ, and Christ is the church is the body, and the body is Christ, you have not learned anything in 2009. We need to know where we are. Like physical growth, spiritual growth requires regular exercise. I'm sure that many of you have made a New Year's resolution that you're going to lose some weight. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. You're going to be more diligent in your worship, coming to worship, Bible class, and so forth. Well, let me tell you something. These are some things that you should never have to make a New Year's resolution about. You should always be in this place of worship. You should always be striving every day to grow spiritually. What did First Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8 say? 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Next verse. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable to all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Let me tell you something, that physical exercise will do you no good. It only do you good down here on earth. That spiritual exercise will do you good down here and in the after a while. Hello, somebody. Bodily exercise profited little. But I will tell you tonight that spiritual growth is not easy. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. We must work at it today, tomorrow, and always. But we can take comfort tonight, church, in knowing that spiritual growth is a choice, because in our spiritual growth, we are assisted by God. We are not alone in our efforts as we grow spiritually. While we work out our salvation, God is at work in you and me. Just as he was in producing our new birth. Titus 3 and verse 5 says what? He was right there when he produced us in a new birth. Titus 3 and verse 5. One of the brothers got to read.
Not by works of righteousness.
All right.
Which we have done.
Mm-hmm.
But according to his mercy, he saved us.
All right.
By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. All right. So God has started the work, and he desires to complete the work that he started when he saved us. And I will tell you that the work of grace is a good work. It is a blessed work. It makes us good, and it makes us know that God loves us. We are strengthened by God in our efforts. And sometimes we feel that we get so down that we don't know which way to go. But we are strengthened in our efforts as we labor in God's vineyard. Ephesians 3 and verse number 16. What does the Bible say? Ephesians 3 and verse 16.
According to the riches of his glory,
mm-hmm.
to be strengthened with might,
mm-hmm.
by his spirit in the inner man.
Okay. So we will be strengthened, but Paul is praying here, said that they might have what? Spiritual strength to work, which they were called according to the riches of God's glory. We do not have God's strength. We have him. He empowers us with an imaginable power that is in you and I. And you didn't know tonight that you had so much power. Let me show you how you have that. Look, Ephesians 3 in verse 20. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There is an inexhaustible fullness of grace and mercy in God. Whatever we ask, whatever we think, God is able to give more, and not only more, but exceedingly abundantly above what we can ever ask. He provides. The Ephesian writer tells us in Ephesians 6 and verse number 10 and 11. He provides an armor that you and I can stand strong and powerful in his might. He says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Next verse. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There is no excuse tonight, church, for you and I as Christians to not grow. Because we can find strength We can find protection in the Word of God. Then Ephesians 4 and verse 13 tells us. We can have covenant to know that after we've fought the good fight, after we've strived to do all that we can do, we can say we can find strength because we know that we can do all things through who? Through Christ that does what? That strengthens us. With God as our aid, spiritual growth is possible. With God as our aid, spiritual growth is possible. And I'm not talking about mediocre growth tonight, but spiritual growth that is beyond what limits we might think hinders us. And finally, let us remember as we listen to this sermon tonight that spiritual growth is a choice that you and I have to make. And if that is true, then you and I need to set about rebuilding or remodeling our spiritual lives. Spiritual growth is blessed by God. The blessings begin in this life. When you said that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the blessings of God began. As we grow in grace, as we experience the blessings of grace where we stand, we need to know that we can grow spiritually in Christ Jesus. As we grow in the knowledge of Christ, as we seek peace, we can find hope and we can find joy in the Word of God. We can experience the blessings of adding virtue, knowledge, self-control, and faith to our lives as we grow spiritually. Indeed, it is spiritual growth that will assure that you and I will have an abundant life that Jesus Christ promised. Someone give me John 10 and verse 10. The thief coming not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that thou might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We will experience an abundance of God's blessings. 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. We will experience an abundance entrance into everlasting glory. It says here, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those who are diligent in the work of religion or the work of the church shall have a triumphant entrance into glory. Those who are growing in grace and abounding in the work of the Lord shall have an abundant entrance with joy and everlasting love in the Lord in heaven one day. Is that what you want? That's what I want. And I will tell you that all of the works that you and I do, they're going to follow us one day. John the Revelator says in John 14 and verse 13, he says, and I've heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they that they may have rest from their labors and their works do follow them. One day we're going to rest from all sin. We're going to rest from all transgressions, all sorrow, all persecution. Then it says that our works are going to follow. It didn't say the works are going to go before us. They're going to follow us. That is evidence of you and I having lived a faithful life unto death. That's what we want. And you know that our labors, and sometimes we get so downtrodden, we think that we're doing all this for nothing. But 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 tells us that all of our labors are not in vain. You keep on going. You keep on striving. Let us be encouraged that we need to labor for the Lord. And that our labor as we grow spiritually is not in vain if we die in the Lord. We have been talking about growth, but not just any growth. Not all growth is good because sometimes people grow dull. Hello, somebody. The saddest condition that a man can find himself on this side of eternity is to sit under the lively ordinances of God with a dead, untouched heart. The love of many will grow cold. Some people will sit around and wait, thinking that the word of God is going to change to fit their situation. I'm here to tell you tonight that God's word is not going to change to fit your situation. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 35, that the word will never pass away. Is what he said? So it's not going away. It's going to be here. So you might as well conform to it. Then there's a danger. Some growing weary in doing good. Then the Galatian writer tells us in Galatians 6 and verse 9, huh? Let us not grow what? Weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Then 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13 tells us that, again, don't you grow weary. Be ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't give up. Don't despair. Then there's a possibility of growing corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Some people grow in that area. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. We got to put off that old man. All of those corrupt things that old man were doing. And we got to put on the new man if we're going to follow Christ. Put off those things concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. There are those that grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Like the growth of a cancerous cell, the wrong growth can be deadly to you and me. We find tonight that growth is commanded by God. It requires a diligent effort on our part. It is assisted by God, and it is blessed by God. And it is this kind of growth, church, that Peter encouraged us in the close of his epistle in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. He said for us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. What kind of growth is taking place in our spiritual lives today? If there is no growth, then it is time for you and I to remodel our spiritual lives. It is a deadly kind of growth, creating dull hearts. It is a deadly kind of growth that where love has grown cold. It is a deadly kind of growth where weariness in doing good has creeped into your life. Even more immoral, moral corruption. Or is your spiritual life a vibrant kind of growth in which we are abounding in love and joy and peace, being faithful and fruitful in our service to Jesus Christ? There is a kind of growth that will cause us to neglect our spiritual lives. But there's also a kind of growth that only comes when we make the right choice in our spiritual lives. If we desire to experience the blessing of the right kind of growth, then you and I should never forget that growth, spiritual growth, is a choice that you and I have to make. Are you making the right choice today and every day? Have you remodeled your spiritual life so that it can be fall into harmony with the will of Jesus Christ? If not, then why not? Why not start off right tonight? Start off right this year, remodeling your spiritual lives so they can fall in harmony with Jesus Christ. We need to do that. Then Matthew, the 11th chapter, as I close, in verses 28 through 30. Jesus said in the long ago, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. The last verse. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I want to tell you tonight that God will not put more on you than you can bear. Spiritual growth is not a burden, church. It is a command that you and I have to heed. Consider Paul's word in your efforts to build upon your spiritual house. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "But if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? It said, God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." By rebuilding your broken down walls of faith, you can be a good structure of God, that you can be saved and you can save others by doing so. You can do well in 2010 to grow spiritually. Don't let it be said of you that in 2010, you're still, when 2011 rolls around, you're still at the same place you started. God commands each of us to grow, and we need to grow. And the only way you're going to do that is you got to pick this book up, and you got to read it and study it for yourselves. I encourage you not only to read this and study it for yourself, but supplement that by being in worship on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or whenever the church is called to be together, you ought to be there. That shows spiritual growth on the part of the Christian when you are taking your active part in the worship assembly. I want you this year, in 2010, to encourage one another to grow spiritually as we labor in this vineyard together for Christ. I want to see that day when all of us are ushered into heaven together to live in eternity with the Lord. This invitation is for you tonight. For those who have not yet come to know who Jesus is, he wants you to be his child tonight. And as a child, he wants you to grow. He wants you to grow. Why do you think the Lord wants us to grow? Because he wants you to get to know him better. That's what the growth is all about, is to get you to know God better. If this invitation is for you tonight, I beg of you to come tonight. Rededicate, remodel your lives for the Lord. Let us all stand as we sing.